this point, I have had hundreds of houseplants. I have spent thousands of dollars on my houseplant hobby. And I have most importantly spoken to thousands of you across the world about your plant collections and how you buy houseplants. And not to mention, I've killed a lot of plants as well. And from my years of research and money spent and hours spent on my plant collection, I've learned one crucial thing about shopping and then subsequently caring for the plants and either successfully caring for them or failing at it. And this one thing is going to save you money, it's going to save you time, and it's going to save you disappointment in potential plant fails. And it's that there is no general starter houseplant. There is no general low-maintenance houseplant. There are the right plants for your lifestyle. I have a process that I'm going to walk you through in identifying what plants are right for you, and it is hopefully going to save you time, money, and disappointment. I'm so excited to walk you through it. Welcome. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, plant friends. If you're new here, my name is Maria, and I'm here to help you care for plants successfully and grow joy while doing so. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. Welcome home. I'm so honored to be a part of your plant parent journey. And I am so excited about this episode because I truly think once you get the hang of this one key thing that we're going to talk about today, you will save money on your plant collection. I can almost guarantee it. And even if you don't save money, you're going to save heartbreak. I hope you're going to kill less plants because of this practice that I'm going to teach you. So I'm so excited to dive in. But before that, I just want to give a quick shout out to our newest Patreon supporters, Michael B., Tanisha H., and Aaron R. Thank you so much for joining our Patreon community. If you don't know, we are newly on Patreon with amazing tiers. There are different tiers that get you all sorts of cool perks like exclusive merch, bonus content, and even one-on-one plant coaching with me. So if you're interested in supporting the show like Michael, Tanisha, and Aaron, you can go to patreon.com/growingjoy. But today, we are here to provide you this free episode that is geared to empower you and set you up for even more success, set you up for success beyond your wildest dreams when it comes to houseplants. What's it about, Maria? It's about figuring out what your plant parent personality is. What's a plant parent personality? Let me tell you. So let's zoom out. Let's rewind for a minute. If you're new here, you should know that I used to be an epic plant killer. I have a graveyard of dead plants in my history. And my inability to care for plants successfully was a combo of two things. Number one, I had no idea what the light in my home was, and I didn't know how to water plants. But number two, I picked the wrong plants for my lifestyle and my personality. And that is where I feel like most plant fails come from. They don't come from like a plant being bad. Sometimes they don't even come from a lack of light or overwatering or underwatering because plants are pretty resilient. It's when you don't pick the right plants for your lifestyle. So let me give you an example. When I meet someone new and I tell them I have a podcast about plants, I often hear, oh, I wish I could keep a plant alive. I can't even keep a succulent alive, right? So that means a lot of people can't keep succulents alive. And succulents are deceptively a very difficult plant to take care of. Number one, they need a lot of light. So yes, maybe you killed succulents with too much light, but also succulents tend to get overwatered because they're a very drought tolerant plant. So if you get plants because you want to, you know, bring them home and have a mindful practice where you're watering them frequently and you're interacting them frequently, and you have it be a succulent, which really wants to be left alone, it's very easy for you to overwater that succulent and kill it and then think that you're a plant killer, but really succulents just don't fit for your lifestyle. Now, if I was to give that same mindful person a plant that loves watering, that loves a little bit more of a helicopter plant parent, that loves a plant parent that's going to engage with them on a daily, if not weekly basis, I would give that plant parent a Maranta, a fern, maybe an orchid that you could spritz the roots of, right? So this one person would have a success with a moisture-loving plant and a failure with a drought-loving plant, right? On the flip side, if I was to take someone who travels a lot or has young kids and doesn't have a lot of time to care for their plants, if I was to give that person a fern or a Maranta, they would kill it so quick because they would forget to water it once and it would wilt and die. Whereas if that person had that succulent on a sunny windowsill, it would probably be really happy, right? So when people ask me, you know, one of the questions I get asked the most, what's the best starter plant? And my answer is always, there isn't a blanket starter plant. There isn't one plant that I would say everybody in the world should have. But there are starter plants for your personality types. So I've spent so many years talking with so many different people around the world about their plant collections and how they consume plants and how they interact with plants. And I love personality tests. I'm an Enneagram 3, Wing 4. I am a Human Design 6-2. I'm an Aries. I know my birth chart. Like, I love any opportunity to take a test and learn more about myself. And I noticed after talking with so many members of my community, there were consistently these five different personality archetypes that kept showing up with different flavors. And so I decided, why don't I just make a personality test of my own in hopes that it will simplify what plants people should buy that are most likely for them to be successful with. And the list and the personality type that you are going to get might be very different than the list and the personality type that your plant friend would get, or that maybe your family member who doesn't care for plants would get, right? Because it's all about finding those right plants for your personality. So I thought today it would be fun to go through all of the different personality types and talk about their strengths, their weaknesses, and some general plants that you could buy and try if you're that plant parent personality type. You either know your personality type and this episode will be a deeper dive into it, but also we often have multiple different personality types that show up. So I would say when I made this personality test, I was 80% mindful plant parent and 20% low maintenance plant parent. And that's actually flipped. So now I am an 80% low maintenance plant parent with a 20% mindful. And honestly, as I have my first house and I'm designing, I see some design-based plant parent elements coming in. So don't worry, I'm going to explain all of this to you. But I thought it would be fun to go over all five personality types because you're probably going to see yourself in multiple different personalities. But before we dive in, I would love for you to whip your phone out and go to plantparentpersonality.com, or you can click the link in the show notes and take the test really quickly. It's 2 minutes. It'll take 2 minutes to complete. It's completely free to do. You just give me your email and then I will email you your personality type. But most importantly, I spent hours calling and pulling together curated shopping lists of plants that you might not have heard of and that might not already be in your collection that you'll get when you take this test. So today's episode is going to be more general. I'll talk about different genera you should try. But if you're curious about like what really specific niche plants might be perfectly tailored to you that you don't know about, take the test because you're going to get that shopping list for free. And you can literally take it to your nursery and say, hey, do you have any of these plants in stock? I'd love to try them. Or if you're not in the market for plants, you can just see and pat yourself on the back when you're like, oh yeah, I have that plant. Oh yeah, I have that plant. So click the link in the show notes, go take the test as you're listening to this, but let's get into all of the different personality types. So first off, when I look at the stats of the personality test, the majority of my audience, so the majority of our community, not the majority, but like the largest of all five of the personality types is the mindful plant parent, which makes so much sense because if you listen to this podcast, you probably are into the mindfulness elements that plants bring to your lives, right? I wrote a book, Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness. It's a self-help book about plants, and you've probably read it or buy into that idea. So the mindful plant parent is really all about nurturing, and you're nurturing your plants and you're nurturing yourself while you're nurturing them. You find joy in the little things like watering your plants, like pausing to admire them. You really have a self-care plant care practice. Maybe you've fallen off the tracks and you need to get into it again, but your main desire and approach to have plants is actually rooted in self-care in addition to plant care. You're like me and you see the plant life parallels abundant across your entire plant collection and you want to talk about it and you want to read about it and, you know, you want to be engaging with those plants on a daily, if not weekly basis. You're amazing at consistently showing up for your houseplants. You're amazing at tethering your plant care routine to a self-care routine. So when you're watering your plants, hopefully you're thinking, okay, am I hydrated? Do I need to drink myself? Or is there an area of my life that is dehydrated that needs a little bit of water? You probably have some sort of allocated weekly or daily time that and routine that you spend with your plants. And you're also usually very eager to learn about your plants and to learn how not just to care for them, but how to connect with them on a deeper basis. I find that mindful plant parents tend to struggle with overwatering, right? sometimes you turn into being a helicopter plant parent and you want to be engaging with those plants on a daily basis, which might lead to overwatering. So this is where I'm never going to say a mindful plant parent should have succulents or drought tolerant plants, right? I'm always going to encourage mindful plant parents to be going into those more high maintenance isn't the right word, but plants that enjoy a little bit of love, right? The Marantaceae, the ferns, there are also a lot of low light loving plants, which is amazing. Anthurium, alocasia, right? Like all of those plants that don't like their soil drying out are going to thrive with you. But I also encourage you that if you are a mindful plant parent, figuring out what aspects of your plant care routine could you do every day or on a weekly basis that isn't watering. So you can have mindful moments with your plants. You can go and take five. That's a practice in my book where you go and do box breathing with your plant and just kind of like let your eyes soft focus on the leaves. Can you enjoy the different leaf patterns? Can you engage all five of your senses as you walk through your plant collection and touch? Can you check for pests? Can you clean leaves? Can you go spritz your moss poles, right? So moss poles are great for mindful plant parents because if you want to water something every day, you can water your moss pole almost every day, especially if you live in the Northeast where it's really dry, right? So moss poles, you know, obviously dry out a lot in dry environments. So instead of watering the soil, water your moss pole and keep it moist. Your plant's aerial roots will love it. Also, like aerate the mix, right? So because you might be prone to overwatering, make sure your plant is in a well-draining soil mix. You know, if you use general potting mix, maybe add a little bit of orchid bark to add a little bit of extra aeration. You know, I was interacting with a mindful plant parent last week when I was doing this private shopping event at Homestead Gardens. And we were talking about what pots she should use. And I said, you know, you've told me that you're prone to overwatering. So I would highly suggest you using terracotta pots because terracotta will wick moisture out of the soil. So if you have a moment where you water a little too early, that terracotta can kind of be a plant babysitter, like a plant lifeguard, and wick some of the water away and kind of save your plant. So I would say maybe consider putting a lot of your plants in terracotta if you are going to be watering more and making that soil really airy. I will also say, I feel like mindful plant parents really suffer when they lose a plant because you do have an emotional connection to them, right? Like maybe it's a plant that has a story, maybe you inherited it, maybe it's an heirloom plant, maybe you're attached to it for a certain reason, and you'll really beat yourself up. Actually, a lot of mindful plant people end up calling themselves plant killers, where really they could have the greenest of thumbs, like they could be the most incredible plant parents. But because they have one or two failures, they're so hard on themselves and they're so sensitive about it that they actually just like throw their hands up and give up plant care. So I would say be really gentle with yourself. Approach, have your mindset be that you might lose a couple of plants and in every plant fill, there's a learning opportunity, right? And you might also suffer with overwhelm. The curious collector also suffers from overwhelm. So we'll wait for the curious collector to talk about overwhelm. But, you know, you're emotionally tethered to your plants. So you are emotionally invested. So those would be what I would watch. In terms of plants for the mindful plant parent that I would highly suggest you trying, once again, if you take the quiz, I will send you a list. It's like 50 plants broken down, high light, medium light, low light, and what's big plants and small plants within each light sector and what's easy to find and what's hard to find in the plant shop. But in general, plants that love moisture are going to be great for you. So ferns, herbs, do an herb garden and you can mindfully engage with your herbs on your windowsill and then cook with them, right? Orchids, spritz those roots, right? Orchids often require a lot more watering because they're in bark. Prayer plants, the Marantaceae family, alocasia. Phytonia is a great choice for you because phytonia can't dry out even a little bit or they're going to be really sad. So try phytonia or maybe even philodendron. And I say philodendron because philodendrons spark joy because of how many beautiful leaf shapes and leaf patterns and colors they have. Philodendron are drought tolerant. So if you're a more drought tolerant mindful plant parent, philodendron is a great choice for you too. For mindful plant parents, I also suggest plants with heart-shaped leaves. So in my book, Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Happiness, I have a heart-shaped leaf gratitude practice. And so I would say if you're a mindful plant parent, see how many plants with heart-shaped leaves you can collect. Those are going to be alocasia, some philodendron, pothos, and anytime you see a heart-shaped leaf in your collection, let it be a visual cue for you to take a moment of gratitude. I love this practice. I personally do it as much as I can. Obviously, you're not going to remember the visual cue every single time, but if this heart-shaped leaf gratitude practice has you having a moment of gratitude once a day, what a win. Gratitude is one of the most powerful mental health, I guess, do we call it a technique? But it is such a powerful thing for improving your mental health. So I love the gratitude practice, and I think you will too. So that's the mindful plant parent. So there is a Soltech Grow Light for every plant parent personality, and I want to do some matchmaking for you today in their ad. So if you don't know, Soltech makes high quality grow lights I've been using in my home for so many years. If you are a mindful plant parent, I think you are going to need the grow lights in general because you want your plants to have optimal light so they can thrive alongside you. And so many of our homes don't have enough light for our high light houseplants, or maybe you have not enough areas of your home that have light that would accommodate for all of the houseplants that you want to have. If you're a low maintenance plant parent, you're going to love that all of their lights come with timers. So you literally set them and forget them. I have the lights turn on with the sunrise and turn off with the sunset, and I never think about them. If you're a curious collector plant parent, you're going to need grow lights by Soltech because there are only so many highlight areas of your house, and you probably have a lot of high value plants that you want to make sure that you set up for success with grow lights. If you want to do a DIY IKEA grow house or grow shelf, you can also use those Grove grow bars to install in a bookshelf or in a grow shelf. The design-based plant parent is going to love the sleek aesthetic of the aspect pendant lights that you can hang in any corner of your home and turn a corner of your home into a highlight haven, or the fact that you can just screw their Vita grow bulb into any light fixture that already exists with whatever aesthetic you're going for in your interior. And last but not least, the urban plant parent is going to appreciate that having grow lights is probably the only way you can grow food indoors. So you can use their Grove grow bar under your kitchen cabinets. You can put an aspect light, but you can use their grow lights so that you can grow herbs and even maybe micro dwarf tomatoes indoors. In addition to Soltech's many different grow lights that they have for every single type of lighting setup you would need, they have exceptional customer service, up to a 5-year warranty, and a range of grow lights to choose from. You can rely on Soltech for all your indoor lighting needs, lush, beautiful houseplants, no matter the weather, no matter the season. Head over to soltech.com and use the code BLOOM15 for a 15% discount. Experience the Soltech difference and let your plants bask in the light they deserve. That's BLOOM15 at soltech.com. Let's continue this planty matchmaking during our Espoma Organic ad. If you don't know, Espoma Organic is a family-owned and operated company making indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, pets, and the planet. I have been planting up my plants in Espoma for years and fertilizing them as well. For the mindful plant parent, you're prone to overwatering because you might overlove your plants. So I would say instead of just planting your plants in general potting mix, add a little bit of the Espoma Organic Orchid Mix to your potting mix. It'll aerate it a little bit. This is also a great trick for super airy mix loving plants like aeroids. If you're a low maintenance plant, stick to the general bagged potting mix. I have most of my plants in the bagged potting mix, in the general potting mix, and it works great for the majority of your houseplants. If you're a curious collector, you might like this tip. So Espoma has a product called Biotone Starter Plant Food. You use it outdoors when you're planting up your garden, and it helps reduce transplant loss. It helps with nutrient uptake, and it helps the plant establish. I've been sprinkling just a little bit of Biotone in my pots when I pot up my houseplants, and I've noticed a tremendous difference. So as that curious collector, you might like experimenting with that. If your design-based soil isn't really aesthetic in any capacity, but I think that you'll love that their indoor liquid plant food is made in a small bottle that's really easy to hide, and it's really easy to just take out. You pour the liquid fertilizer into your watering can, fertilize, and put it away. And if you're an urban farmer plant parent, you probably have a little balcony garden that you're growing on. So this is where you can use all of Espoma's outdoor products, like their plant foods called Tones. They're specifically created for the different plants that you grow. So if you are growing bulbs in containers, you can use their bulb tone. If you're growing flowers, you could use their flower tone. Or if you're growing herbs and veggies, you can use their garden tone. Whatever you're having, they have a fertilizer and a mix for you. Go to espoma.com to find your local garden center near you, or you can visit my Amazon storefront for a list of curated products that I love. Thank you again, Espoma Organic. Now let's swing to the other end of the spectrum. Let's dive into the low maintenance plant parent, right? So this is going to be the polar opposite. This is going to be the person that I was talking about earlier who travels a lot, who either travels a lot for work or for pleasure, right? Like they could be gone 4 days a week and coming home. Maybe you have little kids that you're chasing around. Maybe you have a bunch of pets. Like the low maintenance plant parent is someone who needs low maintenance plants because they've got other stuff going on. And that's fine. because the low maintenance plant parent buys into the idea and the power of plants and wants to have them in their house, but they don't want to be that helicopter plant parent. They don't want another list of chores and stress added to their life. They just want greenery and life in their home, and they want it to be super easy. I feel you. I am the low maintenance plant parent right now in this phase of my life where I've moved and I can barely deal with putting my house together, let alone like if my plants have been watered, right? So like I totally feel the low maintenance plant parent right now. And the beauty is there are so many amazing plants for the low maintenance plant parent. So let's dive into it. So the low maintenance plant parent is really good at recognizing the power of plants to transform their lives and like letting it be that. Like they're not too dramatic about it. They're not too emotionally tethered. So they're also going to be okay when they lose a plant. They understand that, you know, they compost it, they throw it out, they can try again. And also the low maintenance plant parent is really good at giving the plants the space to grow at their own pace, right? They're not like being too neurotic or not that you can put pressure on the plant, but they're not depending on the plant to grow too fast or like having unreal expectations. They enjoy the plants growing at their own pace alongside of themselves. So if the mindful plant parent struggles with overwatering, the low maintenance plant parent struggles with underwatering because often you just either forget or you haven't been home, right? Like this summer, I had two different trips where I was gone for 10 days and my plants just had to fend for themselves. So the low maintenance plant parent might use words like that. I love my plants, but they have to fend for themselves. It's survival of the fittest. You know, if you hear someone talking about their plants that way, that tends to have them be a low maintenance plant parent. It could also be that they have a lot of plants, so they can't spend too much time with any of their plants, right? So there's different shades of the low maintenance plant parent. And so you have to be prepared that maybe you will lose plants, right? So maybe when you're investing in plants, because you might have 3 weeks where you need to not tend to them, like buying more readily available, more affordable plants and not buying the $200 plants that if you lose them, you like feel the financial pain of that. That's a tip for a low maintenance plant parent. I also feel like a great tip for the low maintenance plant parent, because you are prone to underwatering, is if you can find self-watering planters that you love, this is a great move. So like I recently for my outdoor planters have found Crescent Gardens. They've been a sponsor of the podcast before. I've talked about them, but they're these incredible self-watering planters. They're so chic. I use them for my outdoor containers, but this year I'm going to experiment having them indoors with some of my house plants. They look really chic. They look like any other cool elevated planter, but they have a water reservoir and they essentially bottom water your plants. So looking at all of the different self-watering options for your plants is a great idea. And at this point, they make self-watering plants in every shape, size, price point, style that you can even imagine. I think also with the low maintenance plant parent, you have to be sensitive to like when it's time to let go of plants. Like say you go on a shopping spree and you bring 20 plants home and you have them and 6 months in, you realize, you know what? I'm spread too thin. I've got too much going on. I can't care for these plants. I would say that might be the time to do a plant audit and maybe gift or donate a few plants so that you can have a plant number that really works for you in the context of your super busy life. So the beauty of low maintenance plant parents is you have a lot of really easy care plants and a lot of low light tolerant plants, right? You also have highlight plants, which I freaking adore, but you have a really wide variety of choices for you to go through. So once again, I will email you a list of specific species that I think you would love. But in terms of high-level genera, for the low-maintenance plant parent, like cacti is going to work for you. Succulents is going to work for you. The corn plant, figs, right? Ficus. Oh my gosh. One of my favorite plants that I've added to my collection this year is my collection of rubber plants, Ficus elastica. You could have Ficus elastica in every single variegation, right? As long as they have enough bright light. But you can really let those plants dry out. Haworthia is great. Snake plants, the Sansevieria dracaena. Snake plants are going to be your dream. I've gone 2 months without watering my snake plants before, and they've been totally fine. The snake plant is going to be your best friend. They're also low light tolerant. Philodendrons are going to be amazing for you to get that jungle vibe. Monstera, once again, I've gone months without watering my Monstera, and they've been fine. Pothos, peperomia are basically succulents. Peperomia are underrated low maintenance plant for people. And ZZ plants. So these are a nice variety of small plants, large plants, but within these genera, you can find some great options that you don't need to water that often. And as long as you give them the right light that they need, they're going to thrive in your home and like not give you grief. Next up, we have the Curious Collector plant parent. This was a very popular plant parent in the pandemic. A lot of pandemic plant parents came in as the Curious Collector plant parent. Oftentimes, I see someone start their plant journey as a mindful plant parent and then grow into a Curious Collector plant parent. Because for the Curious Collector plant parent, I like to say plants are like Pokemon. You got to catch them all. Like the Curious Collector is curious and a collector. They collect plants like someone else collects art or tchotchkes. They love learning about plants. They're so curious. They're the plant parents that are going to try all of the different growing methods. They're going to try all of the different pots, the different growing media. They want to read all the books. They want to take all the courses. Like they really use plant care as a way to stimulate their intellect. And they're always looking for the hot plant, the rare plant, the interesting plant, the weird looking plant, the pink plant, right? Like the variegated plant. They're into all of the unusual situations. So they're so amazing at cultivating curiosity. They're so amazing at being the eternal student. This is something that I think isn't talked about enough, but plants are an amazing way to become a student again as an adult. And it feels so good to stimulate your mind and learn about science and cool stuff. That's why I have this podcast. Curious collectors are amazing at trying new things without fear. They'll go try rooting a node without ever having done it before. They'll try a genus without having grown it before, right? Like they'll try anything. And they're amazing at researching. They usually also have plant book collections. They've probably taken courses online or they're really big on watching YouTube or PlantTube, I believe it's called. Now, on the flip side, I see a lot of curious collectors go through this period of overwhelm, right? So maybe you start as a mindful plant parent, you get really connected to plants and you love it so much, your heart explodes and all of a sudden you're collecting as many plants as you can and like you can't stop, right? Two things happen. I can see obsessive purchasing, like compulsive purchasing with plants because you get so excited and attached to growing your collection and learning new things and you want to have every single plant that you might spend recklessly or you might take in too many. And then what happens is you hit plant parent overwhelm. I've done episodes on this. I have a chapter on plant parent overwhelm in my book because I think it's so important. People don't talk about it and it can wreck a lifetime of potential successful plant care because people hit a moment of overload. And when you're in overwhelm and you don't treat it and address it, what can happen is you kind of give up and all your plants die. And then you have such shame about it that you don't care for them anymore, right? So if you hit overwhelm, it's totally okay. It happens to the best of us. It's happened to me before. If you go back all the way down the episode list, like it was episode 20 or 19 or something, my husband put me on a plant pause. I got too addicted. I was in my curious collector era. I was growing my plant collection at too intensive a rate. And he asked me to go on a plant pause. And I went on a plant pause, I think for like 5 months. So I didn't collect any plants for a period of time and help myself establish. So you might need to go on a plant pause at some point in your plant parent journey. Know that when you feel overwhelmed, if you have bought too many plants, if you do get to that point where you get overwhelmed and you kill a bunch of plants, it's okay. It literally happens to all of us. It's happened to me. You're still a good person. You're still an amazing plant parent and I love you. It happens. The other thing is curious collectors tend to have very large collections. So pest control is going to be another thing with curious collectors because if you have a collection of 200 plants and you have a thrips outbreak or a spider mite outbreak, like those pests can take out an entire collection in the blink of an eye. So I really suggest all plant parent personality types, but specifically curious collector, make sure you have a houseplant first aid kit. I have a whole episode and YouTube video on the DIY houseplant first aid kit, the houseplant first aid kit that I made myself that I have so I'm ready for any plant situation. But I highly suggest that for the curious collector. And once again, get my book. There's a whole chapter on the dark side of plant care. It talks about plant overwhelm. It talks about plant pause. It talks about how to assess and give away plants, how to do a plant audit. If you've hit that level where you've had too many plants and you have to reduce the amount of plants you have, like I've got you for when you hit a dark place in your plant parent collection. Okay, so what plants are interesting for the curious collector? I feel like the curious collector is going to be the most interested in my list, my specific list that you would get if you take the plant parent personality test, because I did my best to find really weird, unique, rare, unheard of species of more common genera that you might be interested in. But for curious collectors, so that you're not like reckless in your collecting, I highly suggest going deep on one area. So if you love snake plants, like go in on snake plants. See how many snake plants you can collect, all the different sizes, all the different variegation, because it gives you like a container and some boundaries for your collection. Or maybe it's not that you go deep in a general, but you go deep in a type of plant. So maybe you want to collect variegated plants, right? There's a small part of my personality that's a curious collector because I love pink plants and I collect as many pink plants as I can. I think that's super fun and it stimulates me. Maybe you want to be a sport hunter where you go to all the big box stores and you try and find the sports of all of the Monstera that are there. But I would suggest, like, if you are a curious collector, giving yourself guidelines and boundaries to stay within is super helpful. And also, I fully understand if you don't maintain those guidelines and boundaries, because half the point of being a curious collector is you're going to go to a plant shop, see something you've never seen before, and bring it home and want to try it. So I support all of your behavior as long as it makes you happy and not stressed out. I see a lot of curious collectors really into alocasia or anthuriums. Like, a lot of the curious collectors have those IKEA greenhouses that they set up, or literal greenhouses in their house that they keep their high humidity loving plants like alocasia, or what did I say? Anthurium, Hoya. A lot of curious collectors love Hoya because of the blooms and the different scents that they come from. They love to trellis them. There's a whole subsect of the curious collector that is the orchid expert, right? There are people who only collect orchids and they're like orchid maniacs. That's a curious collector. You could try lithops. You could try cacti, right? There's a subsect of the curious collector that's super into cacti. There's over 400 species of philodendron you could spend the rest of your life trying to collect if you want. But I think the curious collector, I really love the curious collector plant parent because I love your brain and I love how curious you are and I love how smart you are and I love how open to asking questions and being wrong and trying stuff you are. I just think plants offer us this opportunity to like tap back into childlike awe and childlike curiosity. And I feel like the curious collector really gets that. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. Take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, That drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. Okay, next up is the design-based plant parent. So the design-based plant parent is all about the vibe. They're bringing plants home for the interior decor, right? Or at least that's how they start. So if you're looking at Pinterest and you're seeing a beautifully designed room, you're going to see plants in that room. And so they're bringing plants in their home, and they probably have a mindful element of having plants in their home too. But the primary reason of having plants in their home is the aesthetic, is the beauty. So design-based plant parents tend to have less plants. They tend to have, unless they're like into that kind of jungle-o vibe, but that's not as trendy anymore. But they're using plants to elevate their space, but in a really mindful, sometimes and usually minimalistic way. Or if they're a maximalist, like it's a very cohesive maximalist collection. One design-based plant parent I know painted an entire wall black, got black Wally Grow planters, and has all of her plants in the Wally Grow planters against the black background, and the black and green pop like so gorgeously. It's so epic. It's actually the inspiration for the green wall installation that I'm doing in the coming week. So stay tuned to my YouTube to see how that goes. It's not black though. Obviously, it's going to be pink. But they're into plants that have like structural elements either to the plant as a whole, like a fiddly fig or a ficus that has basically like, it's like basically bringing a tree inside, or they're into leaf structure like a monstera or a raphidophora. Like they want leaves with interesting shapes, or they want plants that have trunks and stems with interesting shapes. Maybe they're using plants to style a bookshelf, or they want, you know, vining plants to have like vines all over a room, but it's like one pothos that they have the trailing vines, you know, artfully styled around the window. You know what I mean? They don't have a million pothos. They have one statement pothos that they've styled and kind of like meticulously set up in their space. So they're all about the eye. They have an incredible eye for design. You're probably pinning their photos, right? Like, or you're drooling over their Instagram of their house. They have an incredible eye for design, and they're trying to create cozy, gorgeous spaces that are biophilic. They see potential for plants as living art. So they're collecting plants in a way that like they're collecting art. And that's where they might get one statement plant that's more expensive instead of a bunch of little plants. Like you're probably not going to see a lot of like cuttings at a design-based plant parent's home. I find design-based plant parents tend to be beginners. A lot of design-based plant parents are people who like want plants because they want their home to look nice, but they don't know much about plants. Or they buy a plant because they want it for a specific part of their house, but they don't know the lighting requirements for that plant and they pick the wrong plant. So like a lot of people who buy $400 fiddly fig trees and they put them in dark corners, like that is the beginner design-based plant parent. You see the fiddly fig in a corner in design magazines, so you think you can replicate it. But what you don't understand is your corner is usually the darkest area of your room. Fiddly figs like light. You don't give them light. Their leaves fall off. It's devastating because you spent that much money on a plant. So sometimes the design-based plant parent deals with dead plants, deals with all of a sudden, you know, the pot with no plant and it's just like a pot with soil, which isn't as aesthetic. So if you are a design-based plant parent, I just encourage you to do the lighting assessment of your house, understand what light you're working with before you go shopping. And then once you know, you can pick plants, right? So when I was just personal shopping with some people at Homestead Gardens, they came in bringing pictures of, okay, I have a dining room and I want to do this. So before we picked the plants, even though they were like, I think this would look good, I think this would look good, I'm like, okay, stop. But what's the lighting situation that this area of your dining room is getting? What direction does that window face? How far away is this table that you want the plant on from the window? Okay, we're probably dealing with medium light to medium low light. So that's going to limit the amount of the types of plants we can have. So now let's walk through the greenhouse and you pick out, you know, what style of plant you like, but we've got to find a style that matches the light requirements. You feel me? And if you struggle with understanding light requirements, I do have a free download on my website. I think it's under like growingjoymaria.com/freebies. It's called the Understanding Natural Light Worksheet. And it's actually a worksheet that you'll download. You'll use a free app to measure the light in your space for 3 days. And then you'll know if you've never known before and you're confused. The other thing is with the design-based plant parent, if you have low light areas of your home, the Soltec lights are made for the design-based plant parent. Like the design-based plant parent is the Soltec's muse. The aspect light is a pendant style hanging light that I've hung in all of the corners of my house to turn my corners from low light to highlight. And then once you have highlight, you can put whatever plant you want. So when I wanted a fiddly fig, I got a Soltec aspect pendant light. I hung it. It's white. It blended in with my walls. You barely saw it. I put it on a timer. I didn't have to turn it on and off, but it turned on and off and it gave my fiddly fig the light that it needed to double in size in like half a year. So grow lights can also be your best friend, but you've got to get the white grow lights so it doesn't like mess with the vibe of your home. So the design-based plant parent list of dream plants are going to be plants that have structural elements, interesting leaf shapes or interesting colors or variegation. So you might like the ficus plant, but I would say maybe you want the ficus ruby because that's a pink plant, right? Maybe you want a variegated plant. So you want the ficus tineca, or maybe you want like a dark moody plant. So you get the ZZ Raven, which is a plant that basically has black foliage and it's low light tolerant. Maybe you want the jungle vibe. So you end up getting monsteras or Raphidophora tetraspermas that have that like jungle vibe leaf. Or maybe you want one big statement plant like a bird of paradise, or a weeping fig, or a dracaena, right? Like my best friend is a design-based plant parent and all she wanted was the sculptural dracaena. And she spent, you know, $400 on the pot and the plant. It was a 6-foot plant, but like she didn't want a million plants. She wanted one plant. She was fine spending her budget on the one plant and the exact pot that she wanted to like have the aesthetic that she wanted in her house. And it looks unbelievable. We all could easily spend $400 on a bunch of plants at the garden center. I know I have before. Maybe you want variegated versions of plants instead of the green ones, right? Maybe you want the pink versions instead of the green ones. Or maybe you just want like standard easy care plants. For the design-based plant parent too, and also for the low maintenance plant parent, Proven Winners Leaf Joy has a line called their H2O line, and it's plants that are low maintenance, low light tolerant, easy care plants that they're grown in water and they're grown in like really aesthetic glassware, basically. Like there's a round one and there's an oval one and there's a rectangle one and there's like all these different glasses that are filled with water that have the plants in. So those are super giftable, but also super aesthetic if you're interested in like low maintenance, easy plants. And I think you can find those at Home Depot. I would also suggest for design-based plant parents to maybe considering growing blooming plants, right? Like who doesn't want a pop of color in their house? So maybe a design-based plant parent has an African violet or an anthurium or cyclamen or begonia or the holiday cactus, right? Like maybe you're into the aesthetic of what blooms are. If you like having cut flowers in your house, maybe you would love an African violet that gives you flowers year-round, right? I do feel like of all the plant parents, design-based is the hardest for me to kind of prescribe because design is so subjective and aesthetic is so subjective based on what your, you know, interior design style is. But I tried my best in the results form to give you like a really wide variety of plants to try and catch the vibe that you're after. And then last but not least, we have the urban farmer plant parent. And this was me in my mindful plant parent era when I lived in 500 square feet in New York City and I had a 9-square-foot balcony garden. And I was obsessed with growing my own food when I lived in New York City. And on that 9-square-foot balcony, I had a tomato plant and a bunch of herbs. But regardless of how large your growing space is, you're usually in an urban environment, but you want your plant collection to give yields that are beyond just the aesthetics and the vibe. You want to be growing herbs that you can harvest or tomatoes that you can harvest or maybe even flowers that you can harvest and put in a vase or gift to people. You want like the double down on the reward of growing plants. You want to see it beyond just being in its pot. You want to be able to harvest it and use it for something else. So urban farmer plant parents tend to be herbalists or chefs that like, you know, fresh herbs. The other day, I haven't set up my garden here yet and I had to go to the grocery store and buy rosemary in a plastic case. And it was the most devastating thing because I've grown my own rosemary for so many years. but you're all about growing plants for medicinal purposes or for edible purposes or for joy purposes, right? I love it when urban farmer plant parents grow anthurium because they like the anthurium blooms and they actually use the blooms in floral arrangements, right? But gardening is a daily practice, so you're also very mindful. You're very connected to your plant collection. You're engaging with it on a daily basis. So it's like the mindful plant parent, but with food and edible plants and medicinal plants. So you're amazing at like respecting food and understanding the food chain because you grow your own food. You're more empowered and you're more connected to the food chain than others are. You understand the difference between a homegrown tomato and a store-bought tomato and how much more delicious it is. You respect farmers because of that, right? Like you're just more plugged into the food chain, I feel like. You're usually wowing your friends, entertaining with mojitos with your own homegrown basil, or you're bringing bruschetta with your own herbs. Like you're usually the best guest because you're bringing like a homegrown dish or dessert or cocktail. And you're really amazing at just like joyfully witnessing a plant grow and a fruit grow from like a little seedling to a tomato. You get it. You might struggle with light because if you're growing in an urban environment, having 6 to 8 hours of direct sunlight, which is what edibles need and or herbs, like you could struggle with that. So you might need grow light. So once again, I talked about Soltec. I love Soltec, but I also have the Lettuce Grow. So the Lettuce Grow is a hydroponic planter. It comes with grow lights and you grow hydroponically. And when I was in the Catskills all winter, I grew all the herbs, cucumbers, micro dwarf tomatoes, and some medicinal plants as well, like in this, I called it my spaceship smoothie tower. There's a YouTube video. There's multiple YouTube videos on my Lettuce Grow. I'll link them in the show notes if you are interested. If you travel, you might struggle as well because usually these edible plants need pretty general, evenly moist soil. And if you travel, you're probably going to need some sort of plant sitter to come over and make sure that your plants are watered while you're gone. Self-watering planters are also a great option for this. And with urban farmers, I really do love to encourage them to grow hydroponically. It's like, it was one of my joys when I was living in New York. We'll see what I do when I'm in Florida now, because it's so different here. But I freaking love my Lettuce Grow and my Click and Grow. The Click and Grow is a countertop hydroponic system that I've grown in and love and fully suggest. And everything is linked on my shop as well. If you're ever curious, like the products that I use, the soil that I use, like everything that I use, it's on growingjoywithmaria.com/shop. If you ever need to gift people stuff, growingjoywithmaria.com/shop. And in terms of what the urban farmer should grow, you pick what you like to eat and you grow it. I also highly suggest growing mushrooms. My husband and I have grown functional mushrooms indoors, like trumpet mushrooms or like reishi mushrooms. So I did a mini series on my podcast on how to grow mushrooms indoors. You can go watch those YouTube videos or listen to those podcasts. And also growing citrus. I love growing citrus. I've grown citrus indoors. I've grown citrus outdoors. It's such a rewarding experience to see a fragrant flower turn into a citrus fruit in front of your eyes. So I find the urban farmer loves a citrus plant. And now I guess the olive plant. Everybody's doing olive trees now. I don't get it. I don't get how you're growing olives indoors, but apparently some urban farmers are doing it. So you can feel free to DM me and educate me about that. So these are the 5 plant parent personalities. I hope this was interesting. I hope that you saw yourself in multiple personalities. You probably have a primary personality and a secondary personality. Like I said, I'm primarily a low maintenance plant parent, secondarily mindful. But throughout the course of my life, I've been many different types of plant parents. Take that test, plantparentpersonality.com. It's going to be linked in the show notes as well. It's free and it's 2 minutes to complete. And I worked really hard on the list. And I know that if you get that list, there's going to be a plant on it that you don't have in your collection yet that you'd be excited to try. So I hope it helps. I mean, the plant parent personality was really a brainchild of mine that was, it's truly to try and help. I mean, I've been asked the question so many times, what is the right starter plant or what plants would be good for me? And I really feel like this quiz answers that question on such a deeper level. And I hope it helps you because plant friends, I am here to always help you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.